All God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and we're supposed to trust Him as Savior and as Lord. And then the sanctification process begins as the Lord, through His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, mold us and make us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And one attribute, a characteristic that all show forth through our life is telling the truth. Look at Matthew, if you will, and look at this at verse 33, Matthew 5, 33. And he says here, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the oaths that you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." I hope you've studied enough football history to remember the legendary coach of the Dallas Cowboys. His name was Tom Landry. He died in February of 2000. People continue to share testimonies about this man's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his integrity. I want to share one incident that happened shortly after he was fired by the owner, Jerry Jones. If you remember Jerry Jones, after Tom Landry had many, many successful seasons and made NFL football history as a head coach, Jerry Jones fired Tom Landry and his whole staff. Just before that took place, one of his free safeties, his last name was Logan, had asked Tom Landry to go back to Logan's old high school and be the special guest speaker at their annual spring athletic banquet. Let me tell you what happened. As soon as Jerry Jones fired Tom Landry, the city of Dallas got together with their officials and decided that they were going to throw a big ticker tape parade to show their appreciation for all the years of his head coaching and the life he had lived before people in Dallas, Texas. Guess what? The date for the parade conflicted with the date Tom Landry was supposed to speak to a group of high school students in their gym at an athletic banquet. Immediately, the free safety called Tom Landry's secretary, and here's what he said. He said, "Look, tell Tom that I understand that it's more important that he be the guest star or the master of ceremonies at the parade Dallas, Texas has given him to show appreciation for his leadership. Tell him that we'll get another speaker for our banquet." Within 5 minutes after Logan hung up talking to Landry's secretary, Tom Landry called Logan back personally, and here's what he said. He said, "I have a commitment to you and those high school athletes." He said, "I'm going to tell the city of Dallas they can reschedule that parade in honor of me. I am coming to your high school." Listen to me carefully. One of Satan's greatest ploys in the Garden of Eden, as well as in your life and mine, is when he toys with logic. Remember what Satan said to Eve in the garden. He began to twist and turn what God had told Adam and Eve to do concerning the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He began to say things to her like, "If you partake of that tree, you won't die." And he said, "Don't you know that God knows that when you eat of this, your eyes will be open?" The problem was, they would be open to their sin rather than becoming even more godlike. Since that time, man has been very susceptible to allowing his integrity to be twisted. His commitment to the ways, the laws, and the outright commandments of God have somehow been received through the strainer of justification, rationality, and some mental gymnastics. So now in our society, we say, things that are false are true, and that which is true is now false. What the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not steal. What does that mean? That means the Lord says, I want you to be satisfied with that which I have blessed you with. I want you to be satisfied also with living a life of integrity. I love what Job said, as it's recorded in Job 27, verse 5. Till I die, I will not deny my integrity. Job made a personal commitment to integrity. We're living in a day when truth is in short supply. Remember several years ago, when there were several big investment companies and banks, their CEOs and their boards had skimmed off the top. And you remember they had embezzled a lot of the money. And employees who were bought in the stocks of those companies and retirees who were planning on those investments, giving them a comfortable retirement, they lost everything they had through unethical business practices. I'm very careful about who I recommend to our people. Some people call me sometime and they want to know a contractor or a repairman that they can have in their house. I know some in this town that I wouldn't allow to fix my dog house because they messed me up before. You don't do that but one time. I only recommend people to you that I will let come into my house and have the security code and trust them to be there working when Delaney or I are not there. The Institute of Behavior Motivation has found out, listen to this, in America, 97 out of 100 people in America tell lies habitually. And on the average, we tell about 1,000 lies per year. This propensity to lie, to cheat, to steal, to shade the truth has affected how we see ourselves and we see each other. The Roper Organization surveyed the public about its perception of who's telling the truth, and the study said this. Listen to this. This is perception out here. The perception among American people is that preachers tell the truth only 49% of the time. And then doctors tell the truth 48% of the time. Their best friend tells the truth 26% of the time. The newspaper, the local newspaper, tells the truth 8% of the time. The President of the United States, 8% of the time, and the leaders of Congress tell the truth only 3% of the time. Now, lawyers are in there somewhere. It just wasn't in the... We, as pastors and lawyers, fight for number one back and forth. Now, some people say, now, if I just tell a small lie, that just doesn't make any difference. Well, I want you to know that Nature Neuroscience Journal did some scans on the human brain. And they scan the region that receives unpleasant emotional experiences and shows that the brain becomes more desensitized with every lie that we tell. The researchers also noted this. What begins as small acts of dishonesty can escalate into large transgressions. Now look with me, if you will, at verse 37 in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus confronts the problem that people have with telling the truth directly. He said, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. And anything beyond this is what? Evil. Cicero, the great Roman orator, said this, truth is the highest thing a man may experience. Daniel Webster, there's nothing as powerful as truth, and often nothing as strange. Now notice this, out of the background of this text, even the ancient Jewish rabbis whose unbiblical traditions and flippancy with Jesus' challenges in the Sermon on the Mount considered lying along with scoffing, hypocrisy, and slander to be one of four great sins that would shut a person out of God's presence. In their conscience, men knew that truth is right and essential. And that's one reason that they go to such lengths to make what they say appear to be truthful, but our problem is being truthful. So the Jews of Jesus' day revered the idea of truth in principle, but in practice, it was buried under their system of tradition. And notice in this text, what he does is Jesus sets forth the original Mosaic teaching, the traditional perversion of that teaching, and his own re-emphasis of what God's standard of truth has always been. First thing I want you to write down is this, very simple. The first principle is simply this: be truthful with your words. Look at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. When someone swears, they are in effect taking an oath. Now, every day in this country, somebody takes an oath. If you go down to Superior Court and you are sworn in as a juror, you're going to take an oath. And then when a witness comes on the stand or the accused, they're going to put their hand on the Bible and they're going to take an oath. Swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. When the president is sworn in, he puts his hand on the Word of God and he swears to be true to the office that he has. Now, an oath does not keep you from perjury, listen, but it makes you liable if you commit perjury. And that's not the type of oath that Jesus is dealing with here, an oath that is reliable as the one who makes it. Now, the Pharisees felt like that an oath taken to God had to be kept. Now, think about this. The Pharisees were the hypocrites. The Sadducees were the liberals. The Pharisees said, now, if we take an oath, it's true. But if we don't take an oath, it may or may not be true, what we're about to tell you. Now, these were the religious leaders of the day. Now, Jesus points out a problem with that. He says, if a person has to swear to you that they're telling the truth, it means that they normally lie and you can't trust anything they say. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Let me tell you the truth about a person who tells the truth. A person of character does not have to use God's name every time they try to tell you, I swear on God's name or on the Bible, I'm telling you the truth. A person of integrity, listen, they don't need to swear on anything or anybody. Their word is their bond. I believe the worst thing that can be said about anybody is this: you can't believe anything they say. You hire somebody that has great skills. They dress nice. They can talk to people. They're successful in sales or whatever. But I want you to know, if they lie a lot, they're going to be a liability, because that kind of person will stay in trouble. There was a man who was driving his car down the road. He got pulled for speeding. Name was Harry. Police officer got out. Wife was on the passenger side. Police officer came around and said, sir, see your license and your registration, your insurance card. He said, you were doing 70 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. And he said, no, sir. He said, I wasn't doing but 65. His wife said, Harry, you were doing 80 in the 55-mile-an-hour zone. Police officer said, I'm going to give you a ticket for that. Police officer looked at him and said, sir, I want you to know something. He said, I'm going to give you a ticket because your right taillight's broken out. He said, well, I didn't know anything about that. She said, Harry, you've been knowing about that for 5 weeks and you hadn't fixed it. So he wrote it up. And then he said, sir, you're not wearing your seatbelt. And he said, well, officer, he said, when you got out of your patrol car to come to the driver's side window, he said, I unbuckled my seatbelt. His wife said, Harry, you don't ever wear your seatbelt. So he wrote him up. And he looked around his wife and said, I wish you'd just shut up. And the police officer looked at the man's wife and said, does he always talk to you like this? She said, no, only when he's been drinking. And so she wrote him up for that. So when you speak, you want to do what? You want to tell the truth. The second thing I want you to write down is this, is don't be tricky with your words. Verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you have made. But I tell you, don't swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is, listen to this, God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's his city, the city of the great king. And don't swear by your head, because you can't make a hair either black or white. Now, many women would disagree with that last statement there. But when we get down to natural, what's truth, that is true. We can't make that hair black or gray. Now, if the statement contained God's name, in the days of those religious leaders, you had to keep your word. But if not, you didn't have to do it. You know, when I was a kid, and your mom or dad asked you something, sometimes you would cross your fingers, and if you're about to tell a big lie, you'd cross both of your fingers, and you'd put them back here, and you put them back there because you were going to get caught, and you were trying to protect your posterior because you knew exactly what was coming. Now listen, not only is this representing that I'm going to be dishonest, but it also means that I'm going to be very, very deceptive. And so Jesus called their hand on it. He said, whether you're swearing by God, by heaven is God's throne, by earth is God's footstool, by Jerusalem its city, you swear by your head. He put the hair on your head. This hits home to where you live today because we're living in a deceptive kind of society. I read about a bus that was taking some politicians to a retreat. And they were out in a farm, rural area, going around some curves. And all of a sudden, the bus driver lost control of the bus, and it hit a tree. An old farmer heard the crash, and he went rushing out to the scene. He went back to the barn and got his old tractor with a backhoe. And he buried all the politicians right there. About 3 days later, the sheriff came out. He was on patrol and saw this bus turned over, knew there were some politicians missing. And so he knocked on the farmer's door and he said, man, what in the world happened to all these politicians that were in this wreck? Did you see them? He said, yes, sir, I saw them. He said, what'd you do with them? He said, I buried them. He said, were they all dead? He said, well, some of them said they weren't, but you know how politicians lie all the time. So he just buried all of them. We've got a double problem in our society. We don't call it lying anymore. We say we'd have put a spin on the truth. I was reading the other day about a company in Vermont who had to close. And they went to their workforce to tell them they had been laid off. And here's what they told them. Today we're announcing a career change opportunity for all of our employees. General Motors closed one of its plants and they called it a, quote, a volume-related production schedule adjustment. Students don't fail anymore, they achieve a deficiency. Let me ask you a question. How do you achieve a deficiency? It's still like the other day, I heard a comedian. I know you find it strange that I would listen to comedians, but I heard a comedian, and he said, now people are adopting the minimalist lifestyle. You know what that means? You throw out all your clothes except one, two pairs of shoes, and you throw out all your kids' toys and don't let them have anymore. And the comedian said, you know, in my day, we call that poor. We didn't call it being a minimalist. There's a book called The Lexicon of Intentionally Ambiguous Recommendations from Lehigh University economist Robert Thornton. I don't know how many of you have been in a supervisory position or own a company, and sometimes people call you for a reference on a former employee, or maybe somebody is using you as a personal reference on their resume. He said, here's how you can help some people become successful somewhere else besides with you, and they're sorry. Here's how you get rid of them. When you're called for a reference, for example, for a prospective employee who worked for you that you just don't like, when you call for a reference, you want to say, I'm pleased to inform you that that person is a former friend of mine. And then if you got a lazy worker and somebody calls and they want to hire them, you just say, in my you'll be very fortunate to get this person to work for you. For the criminal, you can say this, he's a man of many convictions. We're just so sorry we let him get away. In God's eyes, that's a half-truth, which equals a whole lie. Don't be tricky with your words. Tell the truth. Don't be tricky. Next thing I want you to write down is this. Be trustworthy with your words. Verse 37, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, Jesus was talking about two things here. He's talking about honesty, and he's talking about integrity, and there's a difference in the two. Honesty is saying what you mean, meaning what you say, and your word is good. Your word is your bond. You don't need to swear, and if your word's not good, it's not going to be good when you swear. For example, if you borrow money, you don't have to say, just as surely as God is in heaven and the sun rises in the east, I promise you, I'll pay this money back. You just got stiffed. All you need to do is let your yes be yes and your no, no. Incidentally, honesty is not just the only policy as far as Jesus is concerned. It's the best policy. Honesty is a marketable commodity. The Forum Corporation of Boston, Massachusetts studied 341 salespeople from 11 different companies, 5 different industries, to see and determine what accounted for the difference between the top producers and the average producers. Now, of these, 173 were top salespeople, but 168 were average salespeople. When the study was finished, it was clear the difference between the two groups had nothing to do with skill, knowledge, and ability. What they found out, the difference was attributed to honesty. The persons who were rated top in sales were the ones who were more productive because their customers trusted them. One night this week, a businessman from another part of the state called me at about 8 o'clock. He had gone from Thompson, Georgia to Greer, South Carolina, and he was on his way to Calhoun and Dalton. He had seen a preacher on TV, and he asked my opinion of that preacher. I said, I happen to have been in that preacher's office before, and I really don't want to tell you what I think. I said, that guy is more in love with himself than anybody I have ever met in my whole life. He said, wow, but he preaches a really good sermon. Be real careful. Some people are just a little slick. I said, what are you doing? He owns a company, and he sells equipment to these big flooring companies in Calhoun and Dalton. I said, what are you doing going to Greer, South Carolina? And then driving to Dalton and to Calhoun, going to spend all day there tomorrow. And here's what he said. He's just old country boy. He said, I could ship all this stuff. But he said, I just like to look eyeball to eyeball into the face of my clients, tell them what I'm going to do for them, take them out to eat, establish a personal relationship. And he said, I want you to know, I may never quit doing this business. He said, it's been so successful. I enjoy building relationships with people. Who is that? That is an honest Christian man. The other thing I want you to notice here that he mentions quickly, even more than honesty, he's talking about integrity. Now, the difference is this. Integrity is saying what you're going to do and then doing what you say. When people can say about you, what you see is what you get, you can depend on anything he tells you. You have honesty and you have integrity. And the word for integrity comes from a Latin word that means whole, and it means complete. Now listen to me carefully. If you're going to live a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life, and you're going to be marked by truth, you're going to be marked by honesty, and you're going to be marked by integrity, people who don't have integrity are going to question your honesty and your integrity. You mark it down. I was reading the other day about a lady. She's employed in Savannah, Georgia at Memorial Hospital. Name is Wanda Johnson. She's a single mom and has five children. She took her lunch break on that September day, this 35-year-old mom, and here's what she planned to do on her lunch break. She was going with her television set to a local pawn shop, and she was going to be able to get $60 for her TV, and that would pay her electric bill. Then she was going to rush back to work. I wondered what she did. Here's her title. She works in Environmental Services Department. Let me break that down for you. She's in housekeeping. Nothing wrong with that. Reputable job. But how do you feed five children? Being a housekeeper. It's pretty slim. Well, she was making her way over to the pawn shop. She was in a hurry, and suddenly a Brinks truck went by her. True story. And when he did, one of the guards had forgotten to close the back door, and a big bag of money fell out in the middle of the highway. Nobody stopped. Everybody saw what happened. They were just going around it. So she pulled off on the side of the road, and she risked her life going out into the middle of the highway. She picked up the bag and some other money that was lying around. She thought, what am I going to do with this? This may be the answer to my problems, raising my five children. You know what she did the rest of her lunch hour? She was counting money from that bag. You know how much she had? $120,000. Now, how far would that go for the single mom with five kids? So she went back to work without eating lunch, and she did not go by the pawn shop to pawn her TV for $60. As she worked the rest of the 4 hours of her shift, she said, should I keep it? Should I give it back? Should I keep it? Should I give it back? At the end of her shift, she called the police, and they met her at the hospital, and she said, man, I want to tell you something. I was going to pawn my TV set, pay my electric bill today. A Brinks truck passed by, and this fell out the back. She said, it's not mine. It belongs to Brinks, and I want you to return this to the owner. Let me ask you a question. Because of her honesty, was she better off financially? No. But this is a very rich woman. Let me ask you a question. What is the worth of your word? Jesus makes it real simple. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no, and let Jesus show through your new nature. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.